tell me about the name, Fritch. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, I don't know if I can say it on your podcast, but Fritch stands for F and Rich. So that's the name.
Oh, that's okay. I get it. F and Rich. Yeah. And yeah, yes, you can say that. That's okay. We say that all the time.
Mike, I would dispute the claim that we drop F-bombs all the time on Something Offbeat, but that's neither here nor there.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when you couldn't even say heck or darn into a microphone. And as for that F-bomb, you know, you could have beeped it.
I would have loved to if she would have said the actual word. You know, I don't think a lot of people realize how bad language can be in a newsroom.
During breaking news especially, you might hear something that'd make a sailor blush. But back to Fritch. That's effin' rich.
Yeah, they did a survey seeking to find out how much Gen Z spends while they're going through a breakup. And the number was eye-popping. $4,000.
So I've been married 36 years now. So it's been a while since I've had to endure a breakup. But as I recall, we used to just get the boys together for a night out. That was about it.
I'm a millennial, and I feel about the same. I've been married for 2 years, but we've been together for more than a decade. And maybe you'd start working out more, try to get in shape or something, but revenge travel? That seems a little exorbitant.
It's a bit much. Now, to get into how the costs add up to $4,000, we spoke with one of the founders of Fritch, Alexandra Medina, about breakups and other spending trends they've noticed with Gen Z. I'm Mike Rogers with producer Chris Blake, and this is Something Offbeat. Let's get into this survey, this breakup survey. A lot of people, I think they don't, well, I mean, they do when it happens to them, but it's not something you think about going into a breakup is the expense involved. What did you find out?
The reason why we decided to go with the breakup topic is that apparently March is the month of the year where most people are most likely to end their relationships. And we actually do receive quite a lot of people asking questions how to navigate relationships or how to realize whether or not they actually can afford to break up. The inflation, cost of living rising, people kind of, you know, being really, really scared of a recession happening. We thought it was really, really important to package all these emotional feelings and this emotional turmoil into a very, very simple concept, which is it is important to build an emergency fund for all the things that life can throw at you. So when we were really kind of took this breakup topic, which kind of might at the surface seem like, oh, like why is the financial product or financial app talking about breakups? We actually found that a typical breakup for someone who is roughly Gen Z, like I'm not saying it's just Gen Zers, it's almost $4,000. If a relationship ends and you live in a metropolitan city, moving into another apartment and being able to afford living by yourself, that is a huge price tag. And that is something that can make people stay in relationships longer than they should.
That's got to be the biggest variable because it's a lot easier to break up if you're living separately.
Exactly. Yeah. So the rent part is the biggest one and is something that unfortunately is a big, big blocker. And especially when you, think about traditional gender roles, if each partner doesn't have a financial cushion, they might feel like they have to be okay with things that they don't feel like they should be okay just because they don't have that cushion to fall back on and make decisions that they feel like are better for them. And then, of course, you can add on just, the like very generation specific stressors, such as just general inflation or how much things cost these days. You also have on top of that, this generation being the first generation to fully grow up in the social media ecosystem. So if someone is going through a breakup, it's not that your close friends only know it. Now, everyone else also knows that you're no longer in a relationship.
Right.
So you might feel like you're under pressure to sort of have this performance that you're doing so well. You like, for example, we found that people would start going out on more nights out with their friends just to kind of post that on social media, show that they're doing so well. And that on average also costs so much money. I think what we found was roughly $90 for a night out. You know, like it's the drinks, it's the food, it's all these other
things. And going out and buying new clothes, probably.
Exactly. New clothes. Things like revenge traveling also came up, like going on like a little trip. Just to, you know, just to show the world that actually you're the one that came out feeling okay from this. It is actually such a complex topic. It's not just emotional or just financial. It's both of them together. And when people don't feel comfortable talking about either, people feel even less comfortable talking about them together. And when people are feeling emotionally vulnerable, they do tend to make worse financial decisions, which is why we have these topics and why we take these things on, just to make sure that we can help people prep.
And don't forget the cost of Häagen-Dazs for all those nights sitting on the sofa watching Netflix after the breakup.
Exactly.
Mike, we've been doing this for 3 years, so let's get personal. Did you ever live with a significant other and go through a breakup?
No, the only time I've ever shacked up with anyone, it was with my wife, who wasn't my wife yet. But we were engaged and the wedding was just a few months away, so no biggie, right? What about you?
I didn't either. My wife and I lived together for about 3 years before we got married, and thankfully, everything worked out. But you know what? Even if it didn't, I think it's a good move. It's really hard to know how you'll go through life day to day with someone unless you actually live together.
You know, it's a good thing you and I were born when we were, because I don't think that argument would have flown 200 years ago.
Probably not. However, I don't think doing it too early to save money is the right way to go about it.
Yeah, but times have changed.
Tell me about the company. How did you start it? What was the idea behind it?
One of my closest friends, Katrin, now obviously my co-founder, and we had both recently moved to New York, and we were still quite young at the time, and we were just observing lives of the people around us and just kind of kept being hit with the question of like, how are people even affording this? How are they being able to do all these things? Like, what are the hacks and tips and tools that got them to the situation that they're at? We believe that money is incredibly human. And it's a very, very emotional thing as well that I feel like a lot of more traditional financial institutions don't really recognize, which obviously leads us to our conversation today.
I think it's a fantastic idea because I have two daughters. They're a little past Gen Z right now. They're in their early 30s, but you know, it's something that we were talking about this the other day, that I mean, you target young people. They're young people, so many of them, they just never got that education from their parents. Yeah. And so if you're helping, I think that's a fantastic thing that you're offering some advice along that line.
Exactly. And it's not just parents, right? It's education systems as well. They don't really prioritize personal financial literacy. You can obviously go down the route of becoming a finance major, but you never really learn how to navigate your own personal financial decisions. And it's such an important, obviously, tool that you need just for like your daily survival. And the way that we've gone about it is that our sort of, I would say, main assumption and main mission is to just make it clear and obvious that it's okay to talk about money, and we actually should be talking about money, and we should be a lot more honest than we are.
I agree with Alexandra. I know learning more about how to be an adult before I became an adult would have been extremely helpful. My first full-time job out of college was in Corpus Christi, and going through the whole process of finding an apartment, figuring out expenses, it was all a pretty steep learning curve. Did you go through anything similar?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I think everyone has. My first away from home the first time, I think my apartment was $300 a month. I had a $100 car note, and that was it. And you'd think that'd be pretty easy to get by with those expenses, but I wasn't making anything. So I had to do all those things, the budget, everything.
I felt like I was calling my parents every other day to be like, how do I do this? Who do I call to set this up?
Exactly.
But you mentioned your daughters a second ago. Did you notice any differences in their experiences as young adults compared to yours?
Well, they had a lot more financial support from their parents than I did.
Tell me this. How does this, or did you look into how this compares to older generations?
Yeah, since we don't serve older generations as much, I can't really directly respond to this question. But I think it's pretty fair to assume that the number would be lower than it would be for Gen Zers. And I think, just like you mentioned, right, it's specifically the cost of living question that is so tricky. Whereas, you know, a couple of decades ago, being able to move out on a shorter notice, being able to pay rent by yourself wasn't such a crazy idea. It was something that would be totally doable with, you know, an average income.
What are some other things that stand out, the breakup question aside, as far as Gen Z attitudes towards money in general? Are those attitudes different now than they were in generations past?
I think one big shift between the generations is, for just like proof that we exist, that people are willing to openly, even if it's, you know, maybe in the beginning, people are a little timid to do it, but they are curious enough to overcome it and then feel comfortable sharing things about themselves so that in return, they can see how do they actually benchmark. They are actually willing to have these conversations. People are willing to sort of demand answers. I think just the lack of financial literacy and the average state of the American consumer, those have just gotten so bad that people are, they're just like at their tipping point. They're like, I need an answer. This cannot be it.
Your best advice for someone who senses that a breakup is coming: start setting aside a little more money.
Yes. Have an emergency fund. Yes. That is, being broken up with or ending a relationship is an emergency. And I would always say, I think, especially when you're so young and everything, you're trying to figure out everything all at once at the same couple of years in your life, being able to remove a bad relationship out of this question is such a plus.
I'm Mike Rogers. Thank you so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake, with audio editing by Chris Blake and original music by Myron Kaplan. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us in the Odyssey app or Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story you think we should cover, as always, send it to us. Let us know about it at somethingoffbeat@odacy.com.